Boy, I'm honored you come tonight. Open your Bible, please. The book of 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to this has just been on my heart. Last night, I went home and I blessed the name of the Lord that we had a good meeting. But folks, there's nothing more important than God meeting with us. Now, I realize you could be anywhere other than here tonight, but I appreciate you coming. All right, if we spend as much time feeding our souls as we do our earthly body. Did I say that?
Right, yeah.
Did I say it correctly?
Yeah.
If we spend as much time feeding our souls as we do our earthly body.
Right.
How many of you can go back in your mind, and I'm 74, but I remember my grandma and my family, my grandpa, grandma, my great-grandma. She'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and buy an old kerosene lamp, and guess what she's reading?
Yeah.
And she'd be reading the Bible.
Right.
You'll never convince me they were far more better off than we are.
Amen.
I'm talking about spiritually minded than we are. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, let me show you what I mean. Go to 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. You've got a good preacher. Honestly, you have a good preacher. Miss Chris and Brother Billy, you ought to thank God for them. I believe from Pelham, North Carolina, to Danville, Virginia, to Bristol, Virginia, to Cookeville, Tennessee, Oneida, Tennessee, Cincinnati, I'm just naming them, there's 32 churches has no pastor.
Wow.
What do you think about that?
Wow.
32. God help us. 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. Now, I want you to look with me, please. And boy, and I appreciate that boy playing that guitar. Woo, what a day that's going to be. Where I was at last week, they had a little old girl. I was down at Valley Oak. I appreciate these young people using their talent. But this young girl, I don't know how, Mary and I was talking, I don't know how, 13, 14 years old, exceptional young girl. She could cook, she could can, all this stuff. But anyway, beautiful little old girl. And she played a native flute, a Native American flute. Have y'all ever heard one?
Yes.
Boy, I love it. I love it when she is playing it. But then they told me, I got her one night to blow a shofar. How many of y'all ever heard a shofar? On the radio? Y'all heard it?
Yes.
Come on, be out reason. But anyway, I took the shofar down there to her, an Israeli shofar, and I said, blow this thing for me. Boy, one night, Brother Billy, she stood up and blowed that thing. Great day in the morning, they thought the rapture was occurring. But listen to this. I don't know nothing about homeschooling, but I know one thing. These kids excel.
Right,
they excel. Now, listen, I want you to listen. How many young girls, 13, 14-year-old, can cook and can? How many even want to cook or can? They don't want to. They showed me where she, in archery, where she put 5 arrows in a bullseye at 49 feet away, and every one of them was right inside the bullseye. I said, I don't want her shooting at me. That girl, I'm telling you, they'll probably be here one night. But I'm talking about these young people. Boy, him playing that finger, rolling that guitar. I want to break his fingers. No. Okay, 1 Peter, please, chapter 4. Now, read with me verses 1, please, everybody. Now, your Bible wasn't always in a chapter and verse form. It was a scroll. But look in verse 1. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, Peter said, arm yourselves likewise with the what, Brother Billy? The same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sinning, that he no longer should live the rest of his time, now I want you to watch this, in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Now look in verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you don't run with them to the same excessive right, speaking evil of you. Now, you can't argue with me. He's talking about something has happened in their life to where they have been changed. Amen. Literally, that it's been a revolutionizing his life, and they think it's strange because you don't run with them anymore. Now, look down, if you would, in verses 5. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh. Now, won't you what? But live according to God in the spirit. Now the word but is a conjunction. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Every now and then God gives me literally a nugget. Now look down in verse 7. Drop down to verse 16, please. Everybody. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. What behalf, Peter? For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now notice, if you would, he brings up a question. What's going to be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? You'll only find that only one other time in the Bible when he's talking about the gospel of God. Usually it's the gospel of Christ. Now I want you to watch this. Brother Billy, I'm going to ask you a real personal question. How do you want to end your life? What would you like to end your life like? What would you like to run your race, finish your course? How would you like to die at the end?
Faithful at the end.
Okay. Me too. I want to do that. But I want to say this. I'd like to face death with no regrets. That's how I'd like to finish, Brother Junior. I want to face the end with no regrets. Now, I want you to write this down for the leaf of your Bible. Stay right, please, in 1 Peter 4. We notice that he says, but to the will of God. I got to thinking, if you look in verse 2, is there a perfect will of God for our life? Absolutely. There's a perfect will of God for our life. Most of us, we skirt it. We stay on the outside. God's got a perfect will for our life. All right, but I'm preaching on this subject on facing the end with no results. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. But I want God to be pleased with my life when it's all over. So I'm down here in this little mud ball planet, amen. Now look back in verse 7. Everybody stay right in 1 Peter 4. Look in verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Have you ever thought about how, and you hear people all the time, Brother Sisson, I just don't have time. I was talking to a businessman today about coming to revival. Here's what he said. If I had one more thing on my, I cannot handle one more thing. He said, I've got more than I'll ever get done. And I believe the man's saved. I believe that with all my heart. But I'm saying, here he says, most of us are way too busy.
Right.
Most of us, we spread ourselves so thin. Yeah. Amen. I'm included in that.
Right.
I'm not exempting you.
Right. Yes.
Or me. We spread ourselves so thin. I don't know how many of you ever take time to read the Bible the first thing you get up. I don't know how many of y'all even think about the Lord when you first get up. I don't know if you even pray when you first get up. I don't know if you do the course of a day if you think about the Lord. I don't have a clue. But I'm saying, look down in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. All right, knowing the end is going to come and knowing that I want to face the end with no results, I mean, with no regret, what should I do? Look back in verse 7. The end of all things is at hand, but watch ye therefore in what? We can all say, Brother Sam, can't we all pray more?
Yes.
Sure we can. But you don't have to. I do believe this. If God, the Holy Spirit, nudges you, it's a good place to get is on the altar on your knees.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Right.
But you can pray washing the dishes.
Yes.
You can pray at the steering wheel, just don't close your eyes.
Yes.
Amen, Preacher Sisson. Look at y'all's faces. What I'm saying is, facing the end with no regret, or the end's going to come. Boy, I thank God there's going to come an end of all this suffering. Brother Billy, I have never this morning, I wish, y'all need to pray for me. I wished I wouldn't watch so much news.
Yeah, I know.
I get this stuff in my mind.
Yes.
I told my wife, I don't need all this stuff in my mind.
Right.
They took a man today, and they found this man. He, from Ohio, he killed a 2-month-old baby. I said, Mary, why in the name of heaven would a grown man kill a 2-month-old baby? But I'm saying I've never seen anything like it in my life. All right, anybody that's got any common sense knows this thing is going to wind down. It's ending.
Right.
All right, but knowing the end is going to come, what should I do? I can pray more. Amen. I can pray more. I don't think we do enough of that anyway. I'm talking about genuinely praying. Usually most of us only pray when we get in trouble. Say amen. Amen. When the home's in trouble or when the sickness comes. A man told me today that he said he's got some kind of a type of a brain aneurysm. And I told my, and I don't mean that in an ugly fashion. I think it's only by the grace of God. It's not me complaining. But I'm talking about I've never ever seen him on his knees before God. I've never even heard him ever make a prayer request. But now all of a sudden, because he's got a brain aneurysm or whatever it is that possibly on his brain, I mean, he's talking to the Lord. Well, that's a good thing, but why do we do that? Why do we have to let the bottom fall out of it before we pray more? If I know anything, the old people, son, they had a time with the Lord. A time with the Lord. Well, see, we just don't have time. Now, I got to show you. Look in verse 7. We're talking about a genuine Holy Ghost revival. Now, watch it. The Bible says we're to watch under prayer. But look in verse 7. I know, be you therefore what, Brother Billy? Sober. Well, that's not talking about drunkenness.
Right.
We're to be alert. We're to be attentive. Right. That's what that word sober means.
Yes.
Not sit around on a pew and sleep half the time.
Right.
But I'm saying, look at you, about be sober. He's not talking about drunkenness. He says, be alert, be attentive, and then watch under prayer. Now remember, he plainly says the end is going to come. Am I right or wrong?
Right.
All right, now I want you to watch this. Somewhere out there, if Christ don't come, I got enough sense to know one of these days I'm going to exit this world.
Right.
In a millisecond, I'm absent here, present with the Lord. But I'm saying if I want to run my race, finish my course, I'd like to die in the perfect will of God. All right, how you do that is watch under prayer. If you're praying more and you're alert and you're attentive, you're not going to stray too far from the cross.
Right.
Now watch this. I got to show you. Now write it on flat of your Bible. The third thing I want you to look in verse 8. Everybody look in verse 8. And above all things, have fervent charity. He says, among yourselves. For charity, notice now what he said, shall cover the multitude of sin. I understand it. All right, I'm to be alert. Say amen. I am to pray more. Say amen. Then I'm to do what? I'm to have fervent love. I can say, Chris, I love you. I can say, man, I love Jordan Baptist Church. Your action spells louder than your words.
Yes.
Let me say that again. Your action spells louder than your words. What in the world does the word fervent mean? Boiling hot, according to Noah Webster's dictionary. He says to have fervent charity, or that's love, among yourselves.
Right.
You don't hear it, you don't see anybody anymore loving each other. You don't see anybody anymore saying, I love you. It's almost like they can't say it. But I'm saying we're to love each other, especially those of the household of faith.
Yeah.
But notice what he says. Now we're going to face the end with no regret. We got to be alert, amen, citizen. Be sober, amen, Brother Sisson. Watch under prayer, amen, Brother Sisson. And then have fervent love amongst ourselves. We're not a Kiwanis Club Rotary, not a Rotary Club. We are a church, a called out assembly. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one toward another.
Amen.
Some of y'all have faced a lot of trials. And a lot of things in this world. The older that I get, I realize how much we need each other.
Right.
And I mean, we need to be there for each other. Let me show you. Let's go back. I want you to look in your Bible. Above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude. Boy, I thought about that. I read it today over and over. But look in verse 9. Everybody look in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
Right. Well,
do y'all remember used to? Please don't misunderstand me. I hope you don't take what I'm fixing to say wrong. Used to, when we was having revival, everybody went to their homes and we all ate together.
Right.
No disrespect to nobody.
Right.
Where people, our moms and dads are just busy as we are.
Yeah.
But they had time, they give themselves to hospitality.
Right.
All right, but we don't have time. Our families are so fragmented and we're so spread out, we don't even have time to eat a meal together. Brother Bill Webb, I believe this is one of the most, I hope you can glean from this. Guess what they do at Woodville Baptist Church every year I'm there, not just when I'm there, but every year that they have a revival. When they have a revival, they do this. Everybody cooks like one thing or bring a dessert. The church fixes the meat and everybody meets and has a meal together. Now, I know that's tiresome. I know that. But I'm saying that, but they get together and they love on each other and it's wonderful.
Right.
And now then when we have a homecoming or when we have a meal together, everybody gets over in their own little corner, say amen right there. Amen. And they don't ever fellowship one with another, but it says be given to hospitality.
Right.
What the book says. All right, that boy brought me a cup of water. And I told him, I said, you'll have a reward for bringing me a water. I believe that, don't you, Brother Billy? Well, then why in the name of heaven can't we love on each other more, forgive each other, and use hospitality? You don't even see people do this anymore. Come over to the house. They don't do that no more. Everybody, when I was a boy, knew everybody up and down the road. Now then, everybody wants to live in their own little sealed houses. Amen. Don't get involved. Don't get... Amen, preacher sister. Now, let me show you in verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Well, if I have any sense at all, and I don't have a lot, this thing about grudging, using... Why is our churches so filled? They say they have the mind of Christ. They say they're saved. They say they're going to heaven. But why in the world are they bitter or are envious at anybody?
Right.
Why is that? Well, y'all won't say nothing to me.
Heart's
not right, just plain and simple as that can be, ain't it, Brother Billy? You can be sitting on a church pew and you can have enmity at him or envy toward him or bitterness toward him. It's not going to hurt him. It'll destroy you.
Right.
Well, I learned that a long time ago. Bitterness will destroy you. It won't hurt them. Now, but watch this. This thing about grudging. If God gives Brother Billy a new car, a new truck, you ought to shout with him. Well, that sort of got pitiful. But why in the name of heaven would... This thing used grudging. Well, let me show you this now. Watch. I'm going to have me a spell. Look down, if you would, in your Bible and look in verses 9. He says, use hospitality one with another without grudging or without complaining. But now look in verse 10. As every man hath received the gift. Did y'all see that?
Right.
The gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now we're talking about facing the end with no regrets.
Right.
So I'm now to use hospitality. But now watch this. We're to have fervent love among ourselves. I believe it's healthy. I believe spiritually it's really good when everybody gets out of their pew and goes and hugs and loves on each other. Hey, you ain't going to have all these old, you ain't going to have the old saints of God. Why does it have to take a coffin before you appreciate them?
Amen. You're right.
Drop down, if you would, and look in your Bible in verse 10. That boy's up here picking that guitar, three-finger picking it. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like Billy. Do y'all remember how that the Bible says that David would play for Saul?
Right, yes.
David, Saul would send for David, and David would bring the harp and play it.
Yeah.
Well, that's what that music meant to me.
Yes.
Good music is soothing
right.
to the soul.
Yes.
Now look, but we're to use our talent.
Yes.
Now look in your Bible, we're talking about facing the end with no regret. Use your talent as a manifold grace of God. Now won't you, let me read it correctly. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I am not to be envious of Porter playing the piano.
Right.
But I do believe this, whatever gift God gives you, you ought to use it to his glory and honor.
Right.
You ought not have to be begged and primed and pumped and primed. God gives you a gift, use it for his glory, amen.
Yes.
Yeah, say amen. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you do, do all the grace of God. Brother Billy's got gifts that I don't have. Porter's got gifts that I don't have. I've got gifts you don't have, but we're to use our gifts to glorify God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Now watch, I got to show you the aspect in verse 10. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now remember, we're talking about facing the end with no regrets. We're talking about the end's going to come. I got to show you. Now drop on down and look in your Bible in verse 10. He says, use your gift. Where am I at? Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth him. You should not have, notice that little phrase where it says, as the ability that God give him. Did y'all see that?
Yes.
How many of y'all see that? Would you raise your hand? All right. We're to use our gift, right or wrong.
Yes.
Now, if I really understand, if I'm going to face the end with no regrets, I'm to use the talent that God gives me. And don't tell me you ain't got none.
Right.
We've all got at least one.
Yes.
I can't speak. Well, how come did you get on the phone and won't shut up? Thank God for call waiting. Amen, sister. I can't talk, brother, sister. It's amazing to me how when it's like Moses. You can't ever, when God gave him Aaron, he never did shut up. Now watch it. I got to show you. Now watch it. Use your gift of talent. That's the glory of God. And notice in your Bible, verse 11. Now you got to see this and underscore it. The Bible says, do it as the ability which God giveth, right or wrong. It's not your ingenuity. It's not your ability to, God gives you the ability to do it. I'm going to come back tomorrow night. Women, Kathy, I can cook chili. I can fry eggs. What else can I do? You better watch it.
That's got your gift right there, buddy.
You know where he said, that woman that giveth me? You know that woman that... said that woman that thou givest me. But have you ever thought about it? We are in this role reversal culture. Men now, they're effeminate. I'm sorry, I don't want to be offended, but this way to the culture. They talk about being house husbands. Show me a chapter and verse for a house husband. Show me a chapter and verse for it. All right, how many of y'all know that most men... Men chefs are men, correct or wrong? Their chefs are usually in the masculine. But I believe God gives women, I believe that with all my heart. They got gifts that we don't have. But we're in this role reversal state. If you get on 27 and head towards Somerset, how many of y'all think if you get on the other side of the road, you're going to make it to Somerset?
No.
We're on the wrong side of the road.
Right.
We're on the wrong side of the road.
And
it's getting worse and worse and worse. Please help us. Oh, dear God, say it. What I want you to do is, now I want you to, what we're talking about, facing the end with no regrets. And I'll wait till I get down to the last verse and it'll pop out at you. So I'm to use hospitality. I'm to use my gift of talent as unto the God. And I'm to serve in the strength of the Lord, verse 11. Boy, that gets all over me. There's so much that's done in the, what's the right word I want to use it? In the energy of the flesh. You can say all you want to say, but in years gone by, the old preachers had that anointing of God upon their life. They may not have had education like we have. They may not have had degrees hanging down to their ankles, but I'll tell you one thing they had, Brother Billy, they had that anointing of God upon their life. Brother, I crave it. I hunger for it. But I'm saying we're to use it as the ability which God giveth us. Say amen. We're to use the talent. Now, we're to have the same mind. That's back up in verse 2. Now, watch this. Drop down to verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as you partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Now, watch this. Verse 17. For the time is come that the judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? How many of y'all got a question mark there? How many of you just got a question mark? Now remember what we're talking about. The end of all things is going to come to the end. There's going to come an end to suffering. Thank God. There's going to come an end to sin. Thank the Lord. There's going to come an end to sorrow. Thank God. Going to come an end to all sickness. That's a blessing. Amen. No more dementia. No more. Amen, sister.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
Yes.
I had a man that had throat cancer. Oh, they don't tell him how any of us may leave this world.
That's right.
But this man had throat. He couldn't hardly even talk. He just couldn't hardly enunciate words. You ever seen anybody die with COPD, COPD, trying to breathe, trying to get another breath in their body, trying to get another breath? I mean, just grasping for air. Boy, that's a horrible thing to see somebody die like that. It's a horrible thing. My point is the end going to come. But see, we somehow or another in our mindset we think, man, we got time, and it's like loading the dice, and we throw the dice, and we're playing the game. We think it is not going to happen to me. I'm exempt from it.
Right.
But there's going to come an end of all sorrow and suffering. There's going to come an end to all the strife. Thank God, glory, it blesses me. Then I thought about this. If you look at your Bible, Look in verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. How many of y'all see that? So if I really believe that verse, and I'm a Bible believer, that means it's the will of God for some people that are in a suffering mode.
Yes.
It's not always a result of sin.
Yeah.
Here y'all remember John chapter 9. The man that was born blind. They came to Jesus and they said, who did sin? Is his parents or him or what? Jesus said, neither.
Right.
But they was born that he might glorify God. So what I'm saying is, I don't lack faith believing that God can. Now listen to what I'm saying. But to stay the way that a person is with that infliction.
Right.
And to say, this has to be for the glory of God. I don't. There's a lot of things I don't understand. I was telling my wife, I don't have the answers to a lot of this stuff, but I know this. But according to the will of God, that's what the book said, let them that suffer according to the will of God. Boy, brother, sister, we're to glorify God in all things, amen. We're to glorify God. That's the reason why God left us here.
Yes.
Now watch this. Look in verse 17. Everybody, please. I want you to underscore it. He said, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. Brother, I don't know. I don't have a clue. Miss Chris, do you ever judge yourself? I think that's healthy to do that. Am I preaching Greek?
No.
I think it's healthy to judge ourselves. Even at the Lord's Supper. Look here. In remembrance of me.
Right.
When you partake of the Lord's Supper. It says, let a man judge himself.
Right.
Here it says, if you look in verse 17, we're to judge ourselves. I'm not to put the spotlight on Brother Billy.
Right.
I'm not to put the spotlight on Brother Porter. Amen, Brother Sisson.
Right.
I am to be constantly examining my own self. Amen,
right.
Preacher.
Right.
I'm to get the mote out of my eye. Amen. But what I'm saying is a real revival is to bring us to the point in our life to where we'll say, I want to face the end with no regrets. I had this funeral. And here's what they said. They said, she always wanted a white coffin. So you give her a white coffin. How about this one? Y'all going to absolutely just, when I tell you this, what do you think the average funeral for a dog or a cat or an animal costs? Look at Brother Billy. $2,000 to $3,000, and you have to put it in a coffin. I said, do what? Pet cemetery, have services for a dog or a cat. Services.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to this moment about this white coffin. If the end is going to come, I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with honoring a person's life. That person lived a dedicated, consecrated life unto God. Amen.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with admonishing them.
Right.
But I do think there's something wrong with spending $3,000 to put a pet in a pet cemetery.
Yeah.
If you read Romans chapter 1, it says they worship the creator, the creature, more than they did the creator. God help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. But I'm saying, folks, if I can get you to see this tonight, the end is going to come, and I believe it's fastly approaching. Now watch, hurriedly. So we're to judge ourselves. We're to commit ourselves to God. Look, if you don't mind, in verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him that in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. If I have any sense at all, God is faithful, amen.
Yes.
Thank God. Glory.
Amen.
He's faithful to us.
Yes.
Well, what if I wind up in the hospital? Yes, sir. What if I have another whatever? I'm trying to get you to see that I'm to commit myself to the Lord, run my race. I read this one time, I thought, I want the Lord, I want to face the end with no regret. I do. I'm really determined, Brother Billy. I'm 74. I realize I could exit this world in a millisecond.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, this is Monday night.
Yes.
And we're Brother Billy is an excellent preacher.
Yes.
He's an excellent pastor. There's a lot of difference in a preacher and a pastor. Y'all still didn't get it. Brother, I've always said this about Brother Billy. He's got what I call pastoral skills. He cares about the sheep. And I know preachers care about the sheep too. But God gives you this special gifts as a pastor. All right, he cares about people. And he looks after his sheep, which that's what he's supposed to do. All right, if you don't love them, y'all leave them. Can we put that on rewind again? If you don't love them, y'all leave them. But I'm saying if I'm to commit myself as unto the Lord, and I want to face the end with no regrets, what should I do? It's spelled out in verses 7 down through verse 19. If I want to face the end with no regrets, I don't know how much y'all apply to your life. I don't know if you say, how can this help me with my walk with the Lord? When Brother Biddy preaches, that's what you ought to do. When whoever's teaching the Sunday school, you ought to say, how can this help me with my walk with the Lord? And we all need help. As I told you last night, we all need help. All right, if we really truly believe that Monday night is a revival meeting, don't we take too much for granted? I got both feet. I wish I had both hands, both feet ready.
Yes.
We spread ourselves, and I wonder sometimes, God knows I do, I wonder sometimes how much God is going to be pleased with my life when it's all over.
Right.
I run from the time I get up to the time I go to bed, but I wonder sometimes how much God is going to really say, Mel, I'm pleased with your life.
Yeah.
Do y'all ever judge yourself?
Yeah. Wood, hay, and stubble.
Oh. That wood, hay, and stubble, brother, bothers me. But I'm saying I'm to commit myself unto the Lord. If I have to go to the emergency room, he's there. If I get killed in a car wreck, he's still there.
Yes.
In a millisecond, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
Whoopee! What am I to do, Brother Sisson? Facing the end with no regrets? I mean, be sober, watch under prayer, pray more. Then watch this. Have fervent love among yourselves.
Yes.
And guess what? Then use your gift and talent as unto God. Serve in the strength of the Lord. The man asked me the other day, he said, Brother Junior asked me, he said, talking about my energy. I can't explain it. I'm getting better. Y'all, I was down here about a couple of years ago. I was down it. Well, you can't believe it. I was on the scrub in the bottom. Yeah, I am too, Brother Billy. But what I want you to see is this. Listen. But we're to serve as an ability as the Lord gives us. He's the one that gives you breath in your body. Acts 17, verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being.
Yes.
Boy, I want revival to come, Brother Billy.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of broken homes and broken lives. I've got a man told me last week, said him and his wife have been married 34 years and they're filed for divorce. Applying the Word of God to your life will keep you out of the divorce courts. Let me say that again. Applying the Word of God to your life will keep you out of the divorce courts. It'll tell you how to get along with your family. It tells you how to raise your children. Amen, preacher. Now, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. Monday night. I want us to stand real quiet, bow our heads real reverently. And it says that to any man suffer as the will of God. I don't know what you may be going through with. I don't have a clue. But I wonder how many of you tonight would just get out of your seat and come and say, help me, Lord, to apply these things to my life. Lord, I want to face the end with no regrets in my life. I don't want to be a has-been, used-to-be, washed up. I want my life to count for your glory. You have to apply these to your life, these truths. Facing the end with no regret. You're here and you're not saved. Please listen to me. What you need is an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus. Tonight you can be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Are you listening? Tonight you can be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Before we, my Brother Porter's playing, and you'd say, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. Brother Sisson, please pray for me. Anywhere at all, Brother Sisson, please pray for me. You came tonight. Listen, the end is going to come. Whether we accept it or not, whether we even accept it as a reality, but the end is going to come. Revelation 10 and verse 6, it says that time should be no more. There's going to come the end of suffering. There's going to come an end of all strife. There's going to come an end to all sorrow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let a man judge himself. Father, help us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to my heart. Help me, I pray, to apply these truths to my life. God bless this great church is my prayer. Oh, dear God, finger around our hearts and those that, Lord, that's on their face before you. God, you know the need that every person in this building. Help us, Lord, to purposely get so determined till we want to face the end with no regrets. Please, dear God, help us tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What?